The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Father, let every ear be anointed to hear, and let every heart be receptive. Receive all that heaven has today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. If you go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, please. Proverbs 29, and I'm going to read verse 18. What we don't finish this morning, we'll continue tonight and tomorrow and the next day. The title of the message this morning, The Grace to Fulfill the Assignment. How many believe that God's called you to do something very specific? Now, if you don't have the notes, raise your hand. The ushers will get you the notes in the bulletins so that you can at least follow on with us and not just staring at me with a blank look on your face as some have the habit of doing. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In the Amplified Classic Version, it says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. That's why without the gospel, the nation is lost. It doesn't matter who you have in the White House. It doesn't matter who you elect or you send to Congress or the Senate. Without the heart change by the power of the gospel, it's over. It's finished. Where there's no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Then look in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Most people, it's not that they don't have a vision, it's just that they try to do it all because they copy other people, then they go try to implement that and not realize that these things have to be birthed in your spirit. And that's where faith begins. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You cannot build your organization, your business, your ministry based on somebody else's vision that might be qualified or an expertise in their area, and you bring them on board, and now suddenly you're having to fund their idea. I've seen more people bankrupt everything God had to do with them based on somebody else's vision. The thing has to be birthed out of you. Can you say amen? Now, the Hebrew word vision means a dream, a revelation, or an oracle. Habakkuk 2, verse 2, the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain upon tables. So, there are many visions, but they're not plain. In actual fact, when you hear people talking, they talk around. They talk about, oh, I wish I could do this, but there is no vision. There's no vision. It's just a bunch of dreams. But you have to be able to articulate it. You have to be able to put it down on paper so that people can say, you know what? There it is. I can get behind that vision. Don't get upset because people don't catch your vision immediately. It might take you 30 or 40 years for them to start believing in your vision. And then just when you get all the support you need, you're too old to use it. And so it won't matter anyway. Hello. Just a word of advice. The Hebrew word perish means to loosen, to expose, uncover, or make naked. So when people don't have a God-inspired vision, it's like they're open to the elements. In other words, the enemy comes in and plays with them like a cat plays with a mouse. And then you look at somebody that has vision, and then it would almost seem like they go through everything that the enemy throws at them. They just come through the other side. People write them off, say he's going to fail, but they don't fail because they have a clear vision and they see with clarity and they focused. Amen. Which we're going to deal with that this week. Amen. Too many people are running off to six different things, hoping that one thing sticks. Just one. Just take one thing. And every single person in this room has one thing, one key thing that God wants to do with your life. That's the main thing. And when you find that main thing, you keep the main thing the main thing. And don't let somebody else with another vision come along. Because a lot of people, their vision for you is to take you and make you help them get their vision, even though it's going to sacrifice everything that you're doing. My vision is that everyone that comes along here that helps us fulfill the vision God's called us to, you're going to not only go to the next level, but you're going to end up fulfilling your vision. Can you say amen? If the vision that I have is at the expense of you, I don't want it. I don't want it. And I'll get into the whole thing of what do you do if you don't have a vision at this point. Then get behind somebody that does have a vision till you get one. Can you say amen? Because if you're not faithful with what somebody else, how's God going to give you what's your own? When people don't have a vision from God and His Word to lead them and give them direction, they are vulnerable and exposed to the elements. They wander around aimlessly with no hope and no future. Too many people are trapped in the past. That's why when I hear the testimony of the lady that was delivered from attempting suicide 120 times, which how many know, if you try to commit suicide once, you'll do it again and you'll do it again and again and again. But God brought her out. Now she's never even had any thoughts of suicide ever again. And actual fact is helping people that have those thoughts and God using her to set them free. And if you saw her, I mean, I don't want to give her age away, but I believe she's late 60s. And she's about to get married, you know, because she lost four husbands. She's a widow. Widower four times. She said, I'm coming to the river on honeymoon. And when she's here, trust me, I'll get them up to greet you. People live miserable and unhappy in the present with no hope that their future will be any different from what it is today. So it's just a case of that's how it is. It's always going to be like this. Nothing I can do about it. But I want you to know there's a whole lot you can do about it. Starting today, that if you will allow the word of the Lord this week to grab a hold of your spirit, 3 years from now, you will not even recognize yourself. You will not recognize yourself. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what your circumstances of life are, how bad things have been. 3 years, 36 months from now, you will have to pinch yourself and you think you died and went to heaven. Jesus. Somebody said, Pastor, how can you even say that? Because I know what the Word of God does. Can you say amen? So life slips away from them like mist in the morning sun. Deep down, they have a dream, but it's dormant. It's just there. If only I could do this. If only. And then the problem is they always get angry with other people. If they'd have helped me a little bit, if they'd have just opened the door for me, if they would have just spoken to somebody on my behalf. If only they'd given me a car. I had a minister when everything broke for us back in the 90s, and I was preaching for pastor. The Lord said, buy him a new car. So I bought the pastor a new car. And this preacher, who I knew for a long time, he got mad at me. He said, you won't believe, I was so depressed. I was sitting with a gun, going to kill myself. He said, because you wouldn't give me a car. I said, listen, God never told me to give you a car. I mean, you can't get upset because I didn't know that you wanted me to give you a car. I didn't know that suddenly I became your source of supply. People said to me, how do you even make it in what you do? I said, it's a very, very old Jewish man who is my number one supporter. He doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a mother. He's known as Ancient of Days, and I can introduce you to him anytime. He underwrites everything that we do. If you want to meet him, stick around this week. In actual fact, I'll give you direct access to him. Because most people want to keep their donors quiet. They don't want you to know the one. I'm not going to let you meet them. So if you meet them, he'll be helping you and not me. Hey, help whoever you want to. You want to see who helps me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So their vision is blurred, helpless. They're dictated to by the circumstances of life. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 in the Message Bible says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So you might say, well, what can I get involved in today that immediately will make a transformation in what I'm doing? Souls. Souls, souls, the harvest. That's the number one thing. Somebody said, you mean it's coming back to souls again? Yes, ultimately it's coming back to souls again. Because that's the heartbeat of God. And I want to say this to every ministry here. If you will make souls your number one goal, I'll say this to every businessman and businesswoman. If you make souls your number one goal, God will move mountains on your behalf. Now, Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. The last 2 weeks we have made mention of Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And all these things will be added unto you. Not subtracted, added. You say, what? Read the whole chapter. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Those are the things that the Gentiles seek after. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You won't need to look for those things. Those things will look for you. Can you say amen? Amen. You will never lack. You will never lack all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say this after me. God's will. Nothing more. Nothing less. And nothing else. Now, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12, which I believe this is very, very important for you to grab a hold of this today as we lay the foundation. Romans, chapter 12, and let's look at verse 1. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. I heard one preacher said, the problem with a living sacrifice, it always tends to crawl off the altar. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Somebody said, why do I have to renew my mind? So that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Say this after me, the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. Now, if you read it in order, acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a lot of people that are living in the acceptable will of God, but they're not living in the perfect will of God. So today, if you are in the acceptable will of God, we want to transition you into the perfect will of God to where you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm smack dab right in the middle of what God has for me. And a lot of times people can't say that. We go to cities and I end up in places, people look at me like I'm crazy or whatever, and I stand there and I just know I'm right in the middle of the will of God. I'm right smack dab in the middle of what God wants. And there's nothing like it when you are on an assignment and you know you're right in the middle of it, man. You know. You wake up before the alarm. Even this morning, I went to bed to what, 2:15. I set the alarm for 6:30. 6:29, I was up. And I grabbed my phone and switched the alarm off. Come on. Somebody said, aren't you tired? No, that fire, that vision fuels you and wakes you up without an alarm. I don't use alarms. Alarms irritate me. Alarms meant I overslept. Hello? You can ask the Lord to wake you if you want to. You don't have to have your phone wake. You can ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to get up. This time I want to get up. Can you wake me up? If he puts you to sleep, he'll wake you up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So he says here, and this is so powerful, for I say this through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I have never in my life met more people that think more of themselves than in the time we're living today. And then the funny thing is they think that I think the same way, and actually I don't. Like, people say, who do you think you are? And you want to know the truth? Actually, I think I'm nothing. But I know who he is. Are you with me? You've heard me tell the story over and over again. For years, I've stood in the pulpit and prayed, Lord, I'm nothing, you everything. When we moved in here, I don't know why it irritated pastors around the world. And they would call me, they were upset because we started a church and they didn't feel like we should have a church. And we were just evangelists. You're just an evangelist. You're not a pastor. I said, well, what is a pastor? He loves the sheep. I said, I love people more than you. I've been to your church. I see how you treat the people.
Right.
You ugly thing, you.
Right.
You chew on the back legs of the sheep. So they were afraid that if we have a church and it's a success, then it proves that you can have a church in revival. Which they didn't want that. Because then it breaks the whole mold of the 1 hour dry cleaning service, in by 10, out by 11, three hymns, three hers, take up the offertory and preach from the Encyclopedia Britannica and the Reader's Digest, and you pronounce the last rites and everybody goes home just as dead as what they came. Because people want to run five services on a Sunday morning and you've got a skinny jean, soy latte drinking pastor sitting on a bar stool for 35 minutes giving a little talk as though that's going to change the city they're living in. They must be smoking weed. Lord have mercy. No skinny jeans, soy latte drinking pastor here. Soy is very bad for you. It makes you effeminate. Just so you know. Well, you got these namby-pamby preachers. Need to put their hand in their pants and find their kohanis to get up and preach the gospel. Yeah, I said it. Afraid to speak out. Afraid what somebody's going to say. Don't want to make somebody mad. So anyway, this pastor, big church, a huge ministry, calls me up. And on the phone, he gets me on the phone. He says, I want to tell you, you're not an apostle. I said, fine. Somebody said, didn't you get upset? No, because have you heard me call myself an apostle? Have you ever heard me? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm an apostle. I mean, I get around these people. I'm a pastor's pastor. I said, do you have a Bible verse for that? Oh, he's a pastor's pastor. Really? If you look on the resume, it's probably Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and then him. He's actually on God's advisory board giving, yeah, I spoke to the Holy Spirit last week. I said, don't do that. And he said, you know, you're right. No, that's what people, they think of themselves like that. So he said, you're not an apostle. I said, fine, I'm whatever, man. He said, you're not a prophet. I said, this is fine. He said, you're not an evangelist. I said, okay. He said, you're not a pastor. I said, all right. He said, you're not a teacher. So when he said that to me, I started to laugh. And I was not a forced laugh. I was laughing. It was the funniest thing I ever heard. I was laughing. And he got mad at me. What are you laughing about? I said, thank you for the call. You have blessed me today. You have so encouraged me today. Because for years I said I'm nothing. And you called today to confirm that I am nothing. Thank you. Thank you. Because that would have devastated most people. Put the phone down. I can't believe it. He called me. He said, I'm not an apostle. He said, I'm not a prophet. You are only what you are to the ones that God sends you. You're not that to everybody. Some people will receive you as, and they'll make up all kinds of things for the way they receive you. Other people will think you are the devil personified. You know what? If you let that affect you, and you let the other side affect you, you'll never do anything God wants you. Because you'll always run around trying to get the approval of man. Why would you look for the approval of man when you already have the approval of heaven? Are you with me? Heaven already approves of you. Heaven already likes you. Heaven loves you. Amen. Heaven's on your side. Glory to God. So, we are nothing without him. I love the story, Brother John Osteen, of course, who's the father to Joel. And he built one of the great churches of the world. I mean, it was 18,000 members when Joel took it over. Now it's over 40,000. But he was with all these preachers, and they were talking, I'll tell you what, my apostolic gift is really going on about the apostolic gift. And this one, I'll tell you my prophetic ministry, the ministry that I have. And they're going on, you know, and they all talk about their big callings and their giftings. And so John just looked, he said, well, I'm a big mess without Jesus. Who cares what people think? Because when you get a vision from God, there's always going to be somebody who's going to try to talk you out of it. Are you with me? So don't come to me and think that I'm going to talk you out of anything. If I think you're vague about something, I'm going to push you on it. Somebody said, I think I'm going to move from where I am because the weather's bad. I don't like the cold. So I'm going to go to that city and start a church. I said, hey, you're talking the wrong language. You're moving because of weather. Sorry, you fail. I didn't hear the Lord spoke to me. I didn't hear God told me. Because that's what's going to carry you. What is God telling you? Not what somebody else is telling you. Oh, we have somebody that has a lot of wealth. They said, if I come down, they'll pay for me and they'll build me a church. Great. And then you'll be a puppet for them for the rest of your life. Huh? That's the wrong word. It's not just because, well, somebody's got the money, they're going to fund you down there. Then basically you're going to work for them. Hello? That's why I tell people, give with no strings attached. Are you with me? Hey, we'd like to donate this money, but we want a special auditorium built in the name of my late mother. Wrong church. Sorry, I'm not putting the name of your dead mother on the back of the pew. I'm so sorry. Love you. Bye-bye. Amen. We're not seeking the living amongst the dead. You okay? I just mentioned something about dead and somebody was dying. back there. There's a doctor in the house. We could use you right now. Say this of me. I must not think of myself more highly than I ought to, but to think soberly. So what does that mean? People think in terms where they must be smoking some weed. No, because here's the thing. When it's a God-given vision, you're going to need God to help you bring it to pass. Are you with me? And when God brings it to pass, it will seem that the impossible has been made possible. There's not a question about it. But why would you speak a vision when you don't even have money to buy tires for your car? And you can't even pay your bills. Hello. Start with the basics. Boy, it went quiet now. Now I've lost everybody. Aren't these flowers beautiful? Listen, when we started out, when we got married, I'd say I'm going to travel around the world. People looked like I was crazy. But I kept moving in the direction, and we had to overcome all of the natural things, all of the beginning stages of a new life together. New wife, a new life. Learning to communicate, trying to understand her, which was a mystery, which still is much of a mystery, even to this day. Amen. And then we had to get on the same page because I would talk certain things and she couldn't see it. She couldn't see it. So then when I would talk, she would bring up, because she's a detail person. I'm a visionary. So that was the biggest struggle that we had, because I would see it. We're going to do this. She goes, what do you mean we're going to do it? And so then I had to calm down. I had to change the way I spoke, and I had to talk the vision and then let it go to her. And 3 months later, 6 months later, she's talking, and then I'm sitting there, and then I'm hearing the vision come out of her. Then I knew the time is now right. Are you with me? So I see in husband and wife, the husband talking one thing, the wife is talking another thing. And they wonder why nothing works. Can't two walk together except they be agreed? You have to be on the same page. Somebody said, we're not even in the same book. You have to. Somebody said, we're in a library. I'm on one side, she's on the other side. And somehow she's amongst all the Latin and the Greek. No, because I see in a couple, the husband's got this vision. He's going to forge ahead. Doesn't matter what the wife says. Then they want, one will put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. You've got to get into agreement. So I had to learn, slow down, slow down, slow down. You have to convince her. If she's not buying into your vision, forget about somebody else buying into your vision. Huh? The one you get into bed with every night doesn't believe you? Hmm? Huh? The one you get into bed with every single night does not believe one word coming out of your mouth. But yet you run around, you want everybody to get on board and believe the vision, but you can't even convince the one that is in your bed. So then I realized I had to spend all my time with her. So she said, but I've got this vision burning inside you. You better put it in her too. Otherwise, you're going to be off there blazing the trail all by yourself. And it's lonely all by yourself. Now, because she's a detailed person, I'll get into some of these things yet during the week, but because she's a detailed person, I had to learn that she wasn't trying to hold me up. She just wanted answers to the questions, which I didn't want an answer to the question. I just wanted, we're going to do this. Who cares about the details? We're just going to go and do it. But she's thinking about the ramifications of what I just said. If we're going to do this, do you know what that's going to mean? That's going to mean this, this, this. Yeah, I know, no. So when we talk now, I say, okay, so when, even today, now we've been married this year, what, 38 years in October. So when we talk, we go, okay, no details, only dream. Dream mode. Dream mode. And then she knows, and then we don't bring up any details. Ah, no detail. No. No detail. And then we just dream, and we just talk the dream. And I just talk as though it's possible. And then she just talks as though it's possible. Then we start to talk about the details, which again, too, then I still struggle with, but I have to listen to her because she's very clever. The Lord gave me a very brilliant lady. Amen. So I'll say this to the men here. You can really help yourself by actually listening to your wife. I see a wife digging her elbow into the husband's side. I told you. Because every time I got myself into trouble, it's because, yeah, I'm forging ahead, and she's saying, oh, just, no, we have to do it now, you know. And then we get into trouble. So, you know, when you do it once, you do it twice, you do it three times, and she just looks at me. And fortunately, she didn't try to take over, you know what I'm saying? But I learned. I'm not stupid. Even an old pig knows if you go down to the water trough and you drink water, and every time you stick your head, your snout, over the trough, a brick falls on your head. You start to think, water, drink, trough, brick, pan. I know it doesn't mean much right now, but wait. Just wait. You'll get into it. Just wait. There's always, we always have these young men that come along to take the daughter, the young lady along, and they have no clue what they're letting themselves in for. And I've had to live with her for 18, 19 years. Now, you're going to marry her? Do you know what you're doing? Are you sane enough? You're going to take this young girl? Don't come crying to me in 3 years' time. So your faith has to be in the now. You can't just be in the future. Your faith must begin to work in the now. If you can't believe God for a sandwich for lunch, how are you going to believe God to rent Madison Square Garden for 6 weeks? So stop putting your faith out for a tuna sandwich from Subway. No. If you can't believe God for a pair of socks, which I'm looking around, a couple of people are wearing, you know, no socks. So if you'll see me afterwards, I'll give you a pair. Because I see people showed up here today with no socks. I'll bless you. But it starts with the basics. Everything starts with the basics. It comes from the realm of what's possible into what's impossible. A vision is always bigger than what you can do by yourself. Because if it was something you could achieve, then you wouldn't need God to help you anyway. God told Noah to build an ark. He never said build a canoe. Isn't that right? How many know you can't get an elephant in a canoe? That's why it took 120 years for them to build the ark. If Noah was alive today and modern ministers counseled him, he would have gone to the bank and borrowed the money and taken 120 years to pay it off. But he went and built the ark. And at the time of the completion of the ark, it was then ready to announce the arrival of the animals. And when you've been building something for 120 years, which seems like a long time for us, but remember, Noah lived over 900 years, so 120 years is not that much. What do you live, 70, 80, 90 years? So you might be building that thing for 20, 25 years. And then suddenly the time has come. Bring the animals in. Amen? You don't want the elephant showing up early. You don't want the elephant showing up early. So don't be impatient when it comes to vision. There's things that are happening now, and this is the 40th year of ministry. There's things that's happening now that I saw 40 years ago, but they're only coming to pass now. Which I know that does not sound great to all the graduates of the River Bible Institute that are graduating next Sunday night. And you're going, great, that's just phenomenal, Pastor. No, be encouraged, because God's going to take you. You're on a journey. Are you with me? For the young people here that get married, I mean, you have to learn to function together as a married couple. Then you're going to have the addition of children. That's another whole world. Suddenly, you're not only trying to keep your head straight, you've got to keep the kids' head straight. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it's a big thing to be a man these days. You have to keep your head straight, your wife's head straight, and all the kids straight as well. I want to say to the men right now, it takes everything to be a man. It takes everything to be a man. And it takes everything to be a woman of God, a mighty woman of God that can handle anything. You can handle your husband, even though he's this way, that way, and all over the place right now. You just keep praying. You don't nag him and try to, you know, rah, 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 the whole time. You just keep praying. And know that he's going to grow into what God has for his life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then your children, the fruit is going to be great that's coming from your house. Amen. Amen. I know they don't want to clean their room, and there's just different things that going on, and it seems like such a pain. Have you cleaned your, take the dog out, take out the trash. Oh, you don't do that to your kids? Oh, sorry, you clean your kids' room? Okay, just check it. I was dealing with a preacher, and the guy come, you know, he's, what, 30 years old, 32 years old, and he's trying to tell me what to do. I said, bro, are you married? He said, no. I said, you're not even married. I said, you got children? No. I said, I got grandkids. I said, go live a little bit, then come back and talk. Seriously. I don't care how big your crowds are. Well, it means nothing. Crowds come and crowds go. And some of them are not married because they're just arrogant. There's nobody good enough for them. They want a Miss Universe, and they look like the back end of a railway smasher. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. They think of themselves more highly than they ought to. Humble yourself. And the lady, she wants a Miss whatever, Mr. Hey, sister, get a little bit of paint. Freshen yourself up just a little bit. The sweatpants don't do anything for you. No, we tell young ladies here, dress appropriately. Yeah, dress, you know, hanging everything out. What are you trying to catch? We You walk around like a hoochie mama. Then I have a vision to get married. Here, you just come sit down. That's why some of the older ladies need to help some of the younger ladies. Amen. See, again, you all thought I was going to start off just talking about ministry and shaking the nation. No, how about just getting dressed? How about putting clothes that actually match? Like, if you're colorblind, get somebody who can actually see and go, hey, that doesn't go. Is this okay that I talk to you like this? You know, brushing your teeth is great. It really helps you. Deodorant. Very important. Somebody said, I don't know why nobody wants to be around me. Yea, verily, hast thou smelt thyself lately? It's like those old Western movies, you know, the cowboys are in the bar and the guy comes off the range of 3 months out, you know, and some of them were sheep herders, which didn't do well with cattlemen, you know. And the cowboys are standing at the bar, and the guy goes, I smell sheep, you know. And then the guy hadn't bathed in 3 months. They take him to the horse trough and just dump him into the trough. Anybody seen a cowboy movie, Western? Yeah. Everybody's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Raise your hand if you're sure. It's an old ad for deodorant. Somebody said, Pastor, I want to get into the vision part. Yeah, but it starts with the basics, just with the very beginning. If you want to get married, how many singles we got here today? Wave your hand, all the singles, wave your hand. If you want to get married, find the people in the will of God. Don't go to, you know, what's it? Farmers? No. No, you don't have to be lonely at...
Farmers only.
Farmers only. What?
Farmersonly.com.
Farmers only, yeah. Yeah, farmers only. So you can get yourself a cattleman. Christian Mingle, bro. Listen, that's the most dangerous place to go. Christian Mingle. Because that resume is not really correct. The picture's 20 years younger. And when you do meet the person, you want to meet their parents. It's important to meet the mother and the father. And if you can, the grandparents, just to see what you're letting yourself in for. Someone said, how did you get into this today? You know, who has a vision for your home? Who has a vision for your life? Who has a vision for your family? This is important. This is where everything starts. If this is wrong, everything else will be wrong. Not that you won't get to where God's taking you, but then you'll just be, every 3 to 5 years, you'll be in a mess because you didn't build the foundation properly. I probably shouldn't have brought that up today. And Pastor Rod is going to be speaking to me about this day. And I know people come to me, they go, where did you get a wife like you got? I said, I got one from God. Where did you get yours from? Then they say to me, well, you really married up. But that's an insulting her, because that means she married down. Always jealous preachers with ugly wives that talk to me like that. Boy, you married up. Shut up. Stop insulting my wife. But I do want to thank my wife for taking such a lowly one as I. Well, let me wrap up this morning with this. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Your whole body must work together. What happens when you have a heart attack? Your heart attacks you. Somebody said, what happened? My heart attacked me. That's what happened. The heart attacks you. You had a kidney failure or kidney attack or whatever. Whatever. When the body's in harmony, then there's peace. When the body's disjointed, when your back's out, your neck's out, your foot's out, your eyes out, Lord have mercy. Having gifts differing according to the grace given to us. Now, I'll just finish with that because this is so important that you understand. I think people are trying to go where the grace of God has never taken them. And then they think, okay, this is how success works. You go find out what they're doing, copy what they're doing. God doesn't have copies. He's got originals. And why would you want to be a copy when you're actually original? Why would you want to be a copy?
That's right.
What if God tells you to do something that's never been done before? What if God tells you to do something that people say, it's impossible? Impossible. When it comes to ministry, when it comes to the vision, it's not all just up on a pulpit. That's 10% of it. There's 90% of the behind the scenes. There's your relationship with the Lord. You want to know why David could take out Goliath? Because he already had a relationship with the Lord. Amen. He'd taken out the lion with his bare hands. He took out the bear with his bare hands. What's this uncircumcised Philistine? Please, I'm going to take him out. I'm taking him out. Why? Because he had a relationship with the Lord. Everything that David did came out of his relationship with the Lord. And everything you will do will come out of your relationship with the Lord. Can you say amen? You know, the thing that I love about my wife is she loves Jesus more than me. She doesn't love Jesus more than I love Jesus, but she loves Jesus more than she loves me. Are you with me? And I love Jesus more than her. And then we love each other. So that's how I know that I'm safe. Are you with me? Because she loves Jesus. So when those things are in place, then everything else will fall into place. Even though the storms of life will come to everyone, the winds of adversity will blow. There'll be opposition on every side, because when God gives you a vision, the devil's not going to say, oh, you got this great vision. I tell you what, come, you go ahead and do it. There won't be any opposition from me. all hell will break loose, I can promise you. And your vision will be tested. It will be tried in the crucible of life. But it's the fire of God that will sustain you, the fire of God that will keep you, and you'll keep walking regardless of what comes your way. There'll be situation after situation. It looked like you've had a failure. It looked like you had a setback, yet you're learning. You're learning from even your mistakes. You're learning from other people's mistakes. Are you with me? And you're growing daily in the things of God until the time comes when now this is your moment and you step into the arena. And when you step into the arena, you're ready. Amen. And you're not going to be taken out. You will accomplish what heaven has for your life. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your marriage are not going to fail. Your children are not going to fail. Your grandkids are not going to fail. The hand of the Lord will be upon you in every way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Your children and your children's children will be blessed because of the decision that you make. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Grace. Grace. So we think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not like some drunk, stupid person. Like these, what, there's 1,300 people running for president? Yeah, 1,365 Democrats running for president. When I see them make the announcement, I go, you lunatic. Are you on crack? Ain't nobody going to vote for your butt. When you hear them talk. Even if they spoke in a 7-Eleven restroom, they'd have three empty stalls. No clue. We're people that comb their hair with a balloon. We've got crazy people, fake Mexicans, fake Indians, fake whatevers. We've got people that don't even know what they are. Welcome to America. I'm telling you, if you took Mickey Mouse and you put him on the ballot, he probably would win. You know what I mean? Let me close with this. Actual fact, this just happened in the Ukraine. A man who played a comedian president for a couple of years on television across the Ukraine. He played a part of the president in the Ukraine as a comedian. He decided to run and won 75% of the vote. And he's now the new president of the Ukraine. The people actually liked him, and so they voted for him. Australia just had a miracle yesterday when a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking man won the prime minister of Australia. Total miracle. Total miracle. So why am I saying these things? I'm trying to tell you, there's people that think they're a whole lot that and a bag of chips, and they're nothing. They're nothing. You know, God says, I bring kings up and bring them down. So God can put people in places of government, but people need to think soberly. Why would you run for the presidency when you wouldn't even be hired as a dog catcher for the SPCA? Are you with me? No, we had a student. I'm embarrassed to say come to the School of Government and she's going to run for the... What was she running for? What was she going to run for? She wanted to run for the Senate of the state of Florida. We said, look, calm down. Go for the school board district. No, I'm called to the Senate. You're wasting your time. But won't listen to us, get mad, leave the church, because we wouldn't back her in her Senate race. That's what their scripture says. People think more highly of themselves than they ought to. And they won't listen to anybody else. Well, the Lord's spoken to me. No, He didn't. God did not talk to you. The reason I know the Lord's going to do great things here with the group of people that we have here is because you people are winning souls and you after the one. And I know God's going to use you to reach the masses because that's where it all begins. But the ones that are just sitting there that never win the souls, but they're called to a higher calling, I'm called to a greater ministry, whatever, I can tell you they ain't going to do one thing because it doesn't start with a greater ministry. It always starts where you're looking after a few sheep. Are you with me? And that's where it all begins. It starts at your house. It starts with your wife. It starts with your children. It starts with your next door neighbor. And then it begins to spread. I don't know how many times Colonel Sanders failed. He did. Colonel Sanders, chicken, failed. He failed, tried this business, tried that business, tried this, tried that, failed. But the day came when he sold chicken from the back end of a Studebaker with seven herbs and spices. And today you can go to the far-flung corner of the globe and you see a KFC today. The same with McDonald's. Are you with me? So the vision will be tested, will be tried, but if it's in the things of God, it will come to pass. And there's no devil in hell that will stop you. And there's no person that will be able to stop you. Don't come tell me people are stopping you. I'll slap you. No one will stop you from doing what God has called you to do. No one. No one. There's no devil in hell. There's no devil in hell. No one will stop you from accomplishing heaven's purpose and heaven's plan for your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see some senior people here. Boy, people better get ready. The seniors are coming. I'm telling you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. How many needed to hear this today? So we'll carry on tonight. I want everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes if you would please. I want to give an invitation today, this morning. If you've come into this place and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you walked in here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. I want to ask you a question today. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? You went home from here, put your head on your pillow in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell because 2,000 years ago, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And so today, it's humbling yourself and say, Lord, here I am. And I surrender my life to you today. You might never have another opportunity. This very day, your life could be required of you. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place, you gave your life to the Lord and days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost your first love. You lost that peace. You lost that joy that you once had. But today you say, I'm coming back. Today I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. And you've never dealt with it because it's hidden. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. But today he said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Today all things will become new. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's outward. Everyone could see it. And now the enemy uses it against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like, what's the use? God will never use me because of this, that, and the other thing. But I want you to know God's a God of a new beginning and God's a God of a second chance if you'll surrender today. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, I need you. I can't do anything without you. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come? Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, took your breath away. Acts 3:19 says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord. Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Lord, I'm coming today. I'm a surrender. I'm going to give you every area of my life. If you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. But as you're sitting right now, you are not sure of your salvation. You do not have the assurance, but you want to make sure, you want to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I'm going to pray with you and for you. Quickly, put your hand up and say, pray for me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus today. God bless you, lady. God bless you right back there. Another hand back over there. Put your hand up high. Another one right at the back there. Put it up high. Let me see it. Quickly, right over there under the overhang. Slip it up high. This lady right here. Quickly, right over here, sir. Yes. Anybody else? Slip it up high and say, yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. All those hands right back over there under the overhang. This section over here, slip it up high. Say, yes. Today is my day of freedom. You can put your hands down. I want you to look at me right now. Please, everybody, look at me. In this section here, if you didn't raise your hand but want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray, quickly slip your hand up and say, include me. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Raise up high and say, yes, that's me. Thank you, sir. Under this section? Yes. 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 Slip it up high and say, yes, that's me. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, put your hand up right now and say, that's me. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, quickly slip it up high and say yes, that's me. This section, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, quickly put your hand up and say that's me, right at the back. God bless you. I want every person, and these two hands over there, I want every person to raise your hand to stand to your feet right now. We're going to pray together. Stand up on your feet. All across the building. All across the building. Quickly. Right back under the overhang. Stand. Stand, 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 stand. We're going to pray. I want you to come from where you are. Bring your personal belongings and come stand right around the altar. Come. We're going to pray. Come. Come now. Come. Bring them, ushers. Bring them now. Today's your day of freedom. Today's your day of liberty. Come. He calls you. He calls you today. He calls you today. Come. There's others right now. God is speaking to you. Quickly get up and come. Quickly come. Quickly come. Quickly come. Quickly come. He calls you. 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 Come. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus, come. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. Ushers, help him. The cross before me, come. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I want everybody standing here, if you'll look at me for a moment, please. If you mean busy with God today, God means busy with you. Today's your day of freedom and liberty. Everything starts with the heart. You might not realize this, but you're the reason that God called me from Africa and I came here 31 years ago with $300 and didn't hardly know anybody, my wife, myself, three children, four suitcases. But you're the reason I came. You heard me tell the story when they said we would go outside and say, if you're out there, send somebody. I heard your cry. And today, if you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. Somebody said, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. Like, look, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. I'm not the Savior, Jesus is. Somebody said, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. No, but I know what He's done and where He's been, and what He's done and where He's been cancels out what you've done and where you've been if you believe today. That God's going to take you from this moment and going to use you for the remainder of your days. How many want God to use you? How many believe that the Lord put you on the earth for a special purpose and you have not seen that come to pass as of yet? Everything's about to change from this moment. So we're going to pray. I want you to close your eyes and just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And just pray this after me. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth and say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. And thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me right now. Now just lift both hands to heaven. Now, Father, I pray that you will seal them now. Seal them by your blood and by your spirit. That on that day when we stand before you, let not one person be missing. Not one of these shall be missing on that day. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact Tampa and the greater Tampa region and even to nations beyond. I pray this now. I break every bondage. I break every addiction. I break every curse of witchcraft. I break everything that's ever come against us. It's broken now in Jesus' name. And we set them free by the power of the blood of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So look at me now. As a servant of the Most High God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the Word of God, and by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, I tell every single one of you right now, your sins are forgiven you right now. Forgiven. Hallelujah.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.